Hello and welcome back to the Sound TV podcast. My name is Jason Wise. I am sitting here outside in Los Angeles in a very, very rare in-person podcast with Sound TV cast member Claire Copey. Hello, Claire. How are you?
I'm great, Jason. How are you doing?
I just want to warn all of the listeners, especially my mother, that this is going to go really off the rails. I think Claire and I have issues with controlling saying things that we're not supposed to say.
I have no idea what the F you're talking about.
So we probably should have, if you have children in the room, which I know that this is a family podcast normally and you're all around the fireplace, I would say this one might not be for the kids.
This makes me a little upset that I have a disclaimer before.
Well, it's not really you, Claire.
It's an honor, actually.
I should say, if you're a SOM TV member, and you really should be, we have a very serious wine habit to feed, and if you, we can't pay for that without you being a SOM TV member. If you are a SOM TV member, you can catch Claire on a number of things. She is all over the Sommelier's Notebook series. She's doing a bunch of tasting notes that are about to air on SOM TV. She is also a major person in Vertical Season 2, which I cannot wait to announce the wineries that are a part of that, and that is coming soon to SOM TV. Claire is, it's not a warning, but it is what it is. Today's podcast, we both like sports quite a bit. And so we are going to do something out of the ordinary. We are going to pair some of our favorite sports movies with the appropriate drink to drink with them. And we're going to see how this goes until it just totally flies off the rails.
Which it will.
Yeah, guaranteed. And we miss sports. There's some sports right now, but not enough at the moment. So I promise you this will be sort of about wine. It will be about a lot of drinking. I should say we have about 6 or 7 open bottles in front of us of rosé and...
6 or 7, he means 9.
Yeah.
That would be 9 bottles.
It's been a long day of filming, and this is going to go off the rails.
It's been a great day of filming.
Before we talk about our sports films, I should say this podcast is brought to you by SOM Blinders, the blind tasting card game that we created to hone your skill, beat your relatives, have a lot of fun at a table. It's a blast. It is at blindersgame.com. You can order your packs. And if you're not a SOM TV subscriber, we drop the prices. It is $5.99 a month or $49.99 for a year. That's basically cheaper than a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Or most bottles you would buy in a restaurant for an entire year.
I'm still paying full price.
Are you?
Absolutely.
Sorry.
No, it's cool. Happy to support.
Go to SOMTV.com for that because it's very important. Like I said, we have a serious drinking situation that is expensive. Anywho. All right, so how do we start this?
Gosh, I don't know.
I think lay some ground rules, right?
Are there ground rules in
this? Well, here's the ground rules. If you have a same movie that I do on my list, we will just both talk about it at the same time, right?
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, I feel like we're both going to talk about movies at the same time, regardless if we have a mono list or not.
Yeah, this is going to be a little tangential. And the other thing is, do we need to define a sports movie? You're not going to pull any. You're not going to pull anything on me here, right? We're sticking to the genre. Yeah.
I think it's pretty. I mean, if you think I'm pulling anything on you, call me out, and I will argue it. You know, till the cows come home. But I think what I have in mind are pretty straightforward sports movies.
Okay.
For the most part.
Okay. All right. Like, for instance, one of the arguments I would say is like, is Last Boy Scout a sports movie where like it opens up and you have this shooting during a football game, but the most of the movie's not about sports?
No, it needs to be. I think the majority of the plot needs to center around a sport and tie into it in some way.
Okay.
Like, obviously, like, Field of Dreams. I wouldn't say that's
entirely about
baseball, because it's a very, like, existential film.
Hold on, but baseball is existential.
Okay. See, we're already getting into it.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, you have to admit that Field of Dreams is a sports movie.
That's what I'm saying, I think, like, the deeper meaning in that, well, there are obviously deeper meanings in a lot of sports films. I think that's the whole point, is they're to spur you on and help you, like, reflect on your life and how you push yourself and your priorities and so on and so on.
Right.
But I think Field of Dreams especially, like, has a lot of existential messages and philosophies.
But so that's a sports movie. Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. 100%. Right, yes.
Good. Okay. So why don't you start?
Okay.
And give me, like, a number 5 movie and your pairing.
Number 5 movie. Okay. I'm going to throw out, so...
Well, I should really fast. I should say we're both from the Midwest. That's why.
Yes.
Hence the sport thing. You Indeed. From...
I'm from Chicago, and outside of Chicago.
And I'm from a much greater place, Cleveland.
Greater?
A bigger, more renowned city of the Midwest.
Everybody knows about Cleveland over Chicago. Yeah. A lot of great history there. And
there's a lot of great history.
In that drive-through state.
No, well, first, Cleveland's not a state. It is a state of mind.
Oh, I'm in Ohio.
Okay, anyways, I just kind of lump it in. Sports is a big part. I just happen to be from a better
place.
We're
already trash talking.
All right, give me your number five. Let's do it.
Okay, so I love sports-wise. I'm a huge hockey fan, and I'm also a big equestrian fan. So my number five is going to be Secretariat, which is about the very famous horse.
Okay.
You're already judging. No, screw you, man.
Nope. I love Secretariat. I'm all in.
Secretariat is this huge horse. The movie itself, like, if you compare it to other equestrian films, is they focus a lot more on the family story and the human struggle on the side of it. It's more balanced out, I would say, human to horse.
Would you...
Yeah.
Thinking of the genre of horse race films, mm-hmm. would you put Secretariat at the top? Is that your...
No.
Okay. It's not your favorite.
It's not my favorite. That's why I have it down in my five.
Okay, so that's your number five. Okay, what
I would say so.
Okay, what are you pairing with Secretariat?
Secretariat is, I mean, when you think about horse racing, especially with a horse like Secretariat, who is just this huge monster of a horse and very classic and very difficult to beat from the get-go, I would honestly do like a classic champagne with that. It's a little highbrow. It's a little snooty. And you got Diane Lane in there. Like, It's just a little highbrow, you know?
So Diane Lane gets you champagne?
She's a little highbrow.
I'm a fan
of
Diane
Lane. She's a sexy lady. Give that woman a glass of champagne.
She's a very attractive
woman. I would do like a classic like Blanc de Blanc with Secretariat.
Okay.
If not, you know, obviously like a mint julep if I was going into the cocktail room for the Kentucky.
That's really on the nose.
That's super classic. If I'm going into wine pairing, champagne. If I'm going into cocktail pairing, 100%.
Okay.
Mint julep.
Are you going to wear like a big hat while you watch this film?
100%.
I'm about Secretariat.
If I have an excuse to wear big hats, I'm going to do it.
Okay, that's fair. I'm like that, but except little hats.
Very tiny little hats.
Very tiny little hats are my thing. It's a weird thing.
Little hat, big statement.
Goes back to college. I don't want to talk enough time.
Oh, boy.
All right, so I'm going to take my number five.
Yeah,
I'm taking
your number five?
I'm taking a football movie.
Okay.
An American football movie called Any Given Sunday.
Oh, hell yeah.
It is
classic.
Fantastically vulgar and great and just off the rails insanity. Oliver Stone... in his most Oliver Stone-ness. You know, it can't stay focused on anything for more than 2 seconds. Al Pacino is off the effing rails in this film.
Oh, absolutely, the entire time.
It's got that amazing, like, you know, that great locker room speech that now is like a big thing people...
Oh, that's got to be in every sports film.
That
there must be that speech in the third act of the film.
So here's what I'm going to pair with. The film takes place in Miami. It deals with, you know...
Classiest of cities.
Yeah, and it's also this kind of movie where you had Jamie Foxx, like, really step into the world. It was like Jamie Foxx comes in, and he now exists. I think what you have to do is you have to have a bit of a cocktail here.
Okay.
You have to take a cortisone shot right in the knee, real hard. Or the buttocks. Knee or buttocks.
Buttocks is good.
And then you have to do a shot of 151 rum.
Hell yeah.
And you have to do it every...
Like Lemonheart?
You have to do 4 shots of 151 as you watch the film.
I like that it's rum, too, because it, like, harkens back to, like, some tiki-era kind of stuff in Miami.
Yeah, I
like
think it's the Miami connection with rum, but it's really vulgar. I mean, if you've ever taken a shot of 151...
I have.
You could breathe fire for the next 10 minutes.
It's not fun.
No, it's awful. And, but it's the right pairing with the movie. And if you take that shot of cortisone, I promise you, you can run really hard on that busted knee. You're going to be okay. So this is my pairing.
So classy.
I'm going number five, Any Given Sunday, cortisone, and 151.
I would even say you need like a little collagen injection in there too if it's Miami.
That's true. Cameron Diaz in that film.
Don't get me started.
Are you upset about the Cameron Diaz clean wine thing?
You know I am. It's just, are we going to talk about this now?
No, we're going to, no. If people are still
I don't
even,
appreciate alarmism and...
We're not going to talk about clean wine. Fake news. I should have paired it with clean wine just to piss you off, though. Okay.
You should have.
What's your number four?
My number four, I'm going to roll in with, oh gosh. My number four, I'm going to roll in with, let's throw out Rudy.
Rudy is also on my list.
Rudy is a fantastic movie. I don't necessarily know that it should be my number four. I'm kind of muddy in the middle here with my list.
Describe Rudy. I hope that everyone listening to this has seen Rudy.
I mean, Rudy, I hope so, too.
And if you haven't, turn off this podcast and go watch Rudy. What are you doing?
Watch Rudy.
We are not as good as Rudy.
It's inspirational. And you'll recognize the beautiful Samwise Gamgee, played by...
Yes.
Oh, God, I just blanked on his name. Help me. Sean Astin plays the title character of Rudy. So this is about a gentleman who is not particularly athletically gifted, but has...
How dare you? He has heart.
He's not. Hold on. We're getting to the heart. He has had dreams of playing on the Notre Dame football team since he was a wee little lad. And he's full of heart. He's not, you know, 6'4" and 230 pounds of muscle. He's not, you know, he's not going to win any, like, athletic contests particularly. But he has a lot of heart that pushes him. That I think it's a really inspirational movie to show you that, like, you don't necessarily have to be, like, this cookie cutter, you know, perfect in your field kind of being, but that you can push yourself and you can kick yourself in the ass enough, as long as you put in the work, that can sometimes override talent or just pure physical strength or agility.
Can I tell you how much I love this film?
Tell me.
I am such a sucker for Rudy every single time. You know, I think I think anybody in any field can get really down on themselves and get really in their own head and stuff.
Well, of course.
And if you're a creative person or whatever that even means, I guess, I often find myself doubting the hell out of what I do and I don't want to do it anymore.
Of course.
I watch Rudy and it is such a, I mean, my wife makes fun of me all the time because I watch it like monthly.
For just this movie or in general?
Well, in general. Okay. I mean, she's probably making fun of me somewhere right now. But the, but this particular film, it's such like a dad film now, but like I cry every single time. When he finally gets it. I cry watching this film and I just love this movie so much.
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful film and it sends a beautiful message. And yeah, I agree with what you said. It's very relatable. We all get down on ourselves. I think that's such a relatable human experience, is that we all question, like, what am I doing? Yeah. Especially in the time we're in now, not to get too like bleak, but like it's a time when you really have the time and the quiet to sit back and assess.
Yeah.
And it can get a little dark sometimes, but...
Well, what do you pair with Rudy?
So, I mean, the Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, like, I want to pair that with a fucking classic, you know, Irish whiskey.
Just straight up.
Hell yeah.
Just a shot of whiskey, or just Guinness. Whiskey?
Just okay. A shot of whiskey.
Okay.
Real like kick it. In the ass, get okay. You on the field.
I'm in.
I also think that, like, I don't know why, but it takes me to, like...
It's really on the nose, the Irish whiskey, but I like it.
It's very on the nose. If I'm stretching this a little further, I honestly think of, like, a Santa Barbara, like, Pinot Noir.
Oh, you're going to love what I picked for this wine.
Oh, really?
It's interesting. Yeah,
well,
keep going.
I just feel like nobody, like, takes, like, Santa Barbara, like, too seriously, which is a shame because, like, watch out for it.
Yeah.
It's serious.
Yeah.
And it's going to kick you in the ass. And it's going to make the freaking team. And it's going to have its dreams. And then you're going to wish you had been rooting for it the whole fucking time.
So Rudy's my number two on my list.
It's, like I said, it's hard.
And See, here's the thing with Rudy. I find it to be I should also say, because I have a feeling Will Blackman, who's a SomTV cast member, former NFL player, won a Super Bowl.
I was going to say, you should do this.
He's going to listen to this. He's going to give me so much shit, because we've talked about Rudy a million times, and he thinks,
because
he hates the film. He loves Any Given Sunday.
Oh, Will, no.
I've talked to him over and over again about realistic football movies, and he just thinks it's so unrealistic. And
because he doesn't think that guy could ever, that he could ever make it.
Well, no, it's not that. He just thinks the way they handle some of the more technical stuff on the defensive back end is just ridiculous.
Well, sure,
I want to put my feet in the sand right now and say, Will, I don't care how much football you played in the NFL. You don't know what you're talking about.
I don't care how professional you are. Screw you.
Rudy is a great film.
I don't care about your successful career.
Here's what I paired with Rudy.
Yeah.
I look at this underdog story. Anything's possible. Don't ever give up.
Yeah.
And you find satisfaction in different places in life. Meaning Rudy, he just got on the field one time.
Yeah.
That's all he needed. He wanted to dress one time, and that's where he found it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think there's an amazing message in the fact that, like, you don't have to win the Super Bowl. You don't have to be the quarterback. He just wanted to play, and he got it.
Yeah.
In the film. So what I want to do is I'm going to pair it with, and this is kind of a spoiler where we have a major project coming up with this particular winery, but it's an amazing story. So Quito Winery up in Santa Barbara County, Santa Ynez, it is on the Chumash Indian Reservation, Native American Reservation. And it is an incredible story of redemption and fortitude and all of these things. And I think it is an amazing pairing to drink their Syrah. I love their Syrah. Their Pinot is excellent, too. In fact, their Pinot is so lean, low alcohol, almost like, you know, and I say this as a total compliment, very hipster in a way, like, you know, classic.
Yeah.
Now it's hipster to have, like, low alcohol wine.
I know.
And, you know.
But it's very old world.
Very blended
in
fruit. You know,
stuff.
The fruit's not poking too far. Mm. So I would pair it with Quito. The winemaker's name is Tara Gomez, and she is just, she's a force of nature. I mean, this woman is going to, she already is an incredible winemaker. I just don't think people know of the wines and know of her And they're going to, because she is amazing. And if, you know, like I said, spoiler alert, we have a major project that involves
her
and the tribe and her family and a number of other things. And I hope to God I can get more eyes on this wine. I just don't want it to get more expensive. Okay.
That's the only, that's my Rudy pairing. That's a great pairing.
That's my Rudy pairing. So that was my number two.
So I guess what's your number four?
So my number four is Caddyshack.
Oh, hell yeah. Golf.
I try when you put this list together, it's really hard because you go, okay, I need a boxing movie, I need a golf movie, I need a this. And I think Caddyshack for me is probably the most quoted movie in my household growing up. Probably the most rewatched movie for me in college.
None of you got no respect?
I get no respect. Hey, for Italians, it's a skilled labor, huh? I mean, the movie is just a constant, like, incredible barrage of the greatest comedians at the prime. You know, you have, it's just an insane amount of Chevy Chase and Bill Murray and everybody just firing.
It's classic.
Throwing 100 miles an hour. I mean, it's really, really, really an incredible film. So I have to just straightforward for Caddyshack go Jack and Coke. I feel like, then you ain't getting no Coke. So I feel like you got to do Coke and you got to do Jack Daniels. I think like on the golf course, you got that airplane bottle of whiskey in your bag and it's Jack Daniels and that's what you're drinking. You're going to mix it with Coke. So I'm going Jack and Coke.
Hell yeah. Oh, that's bold, Jack and Coke with golf. I would have maybe done a young, aggressive Scotch, but I'm apparently very like on the nose right now.
Well,
with that,
I mean, I guess it's like Scottish golf. All time, but this is like really slobby like, golf, you know?
Yeah, I was gonna say it's
like St. Andrews.
Kind of it's not like they're playing on the bluffs of like the Highlands or whatever. That's not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, okay. I gotcha. All right, what's your three?
Jack and Coke. So my three is gonna be Southpaw. I really liked that fucking movie.
It is.
I felt all kinds of things while I watched it.
Yeah, it's a brutal.
It's a brutal movie. I think Jake Gyllenhaal is like, I think that's honestly one of his, obviously like Donnie Darko is an incredible role that he did. You know, Prince of Persia. Just kidding. that was crap.
Yes, Prince of Persia.
That was absolute crap.
How come Southpaw didn't get more?
I don't know. I love watching, so like, I don't know what it is in me. I think this is just like, I think it's just something that's human in all of us. And this is why we had the fucking Coliseum, is that, like, we love to watch people beat the shit out of each other, right?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I mean, I think, let me take a step back and say, I think this one sport, and this is a really tough, I've argued countless times on road trips and filming trips with everybody in the car, what sport has the best movies overall?
Boxing.
And that's what I agree.
And fighting.
I think
and
boxing
now I feel like an
is
idiot.
The top.
Rocky is not on my list, and now I feel like a complete idiot douchebag.
I would put Rocky.
Rocky needs to be on my list.
So I was going to put Rocky 4 on my list with the whole Russian montage.
Shit, really?
I mean, you could do such incredible things with vodka and Moscow mules and all that
for
Rocky 4. Anyways, I'm sorry, I'm derailing you. So
No. As far as sports films go, though, I detract on some of my stuff, and Rocky should be on this list, but I was only given 5 movies, and we had, like, literally, like, 10 minutes to think about this. And I honestly, like...
Yes, this is not science here, Claire.
This was not super prepared.
Welcome to SOM TV.
We're having a great time. And I thought of Southpaw because I remember, I've only seen this movie once, but I remember how much I freaking loved it. And I thought Jake Gyllenhaal did a fantastic job in this film. And
it's a really good performance. He's all in.
It's a fantastic performance. And how much fun is it to watch people box? Like, I love watching boxing matches. I love watching UFC fights. I think it's so enthralling and engaging, and I love watching the techniques that these fighters use. Like, that's one of my, like, bucket list things is getting, like, ringside at, like, a Vegas UFC fight. I don't know. But this film is, it's great, and I would personally pair it with, like, a really young, aggressive Nebbiolo, like a young Barolo. Like, it's brash, it's aggressive, it's fighting you up front, because
right.
In the beginning of this film, Jake Gyllenhaal is... really aggressive, really brash. He's a dick. Let's be honest. He's a big fucking asshole.
Yeah, you don't want to be dating him.
And he has to, you don't. But by the end of the movie, let me tell you what, you marry that guy up. Because he grows. He grows and he learns through a lot of, I don't want to spoil anything. I don't want to spoil anything, but he goes through a journey and he matures. He sinks into himself a little bit and learns about the important things in life, learns about who he really is as a person, what he really wants. And in time and age, a good Barolo really integrates and figures itself out.
Interesting. So basically, the moral of the story is you want to get your men and wines young, cellar them and change them into what you want them to be.
Ideally. That'd be great.
I am going to tell you something you're not going to want to hear.
Tell me.
Men don't change.
What?
No, I believe this.
I have
this.
No idea.
Yeah, it turns out we are the same all the time.
Wait, you mean you guys continue to be bombastic, self-centered? Never mind. Anyway, yes. That's not true. I'm not lumping all men into the same
thing.
Oh, look,
you know, I'm sorry. Hey. I am. As a man, I'm allowed to do this. Or it was like, you know, I'm a man boy. But as a man
they
boy.
They all do. That was like the best advice my mother ever told me. She was like, Claire, no matter how old they get, there's still 9-year-olds on the inside.
Yeah, well, I always say, you know, we are off the rails like I knew it was going to happen. But I always say, like, why did you? This is your fault. You wanted to marry us. You knew. The signs were there. Except,
well,
I'm sure with Jake Gyllenhaal, it's different.
With Jake Gyllenhaal, I mean, to be honest, that's the moral of the story is, Jake, if you're listening, I think you're groovy.
I would assume he is.
He has to be.
To all of our followers, if you could do us a favor and just at Jake Gyllenhaal for us, because at Claire Copey over here, really, really
he's
thirsty.
He's a real cool guy.
We're going to get ourselves.
Anyway, I know.
Trying. Our producer, Nadine, is looking at us going, no.
She's like, stop it.
No, stop going down this route.
Okay. So what's your number three?
I think I gave, All right, my number three is a film called Warrior, which is an MMA film.
So good.
It's the only MMA film I actually know, and I think, you know, real hot take here, but I think it could be a candidate for the greatest sports movie ever made. I mean, if you look at the genre of the sports movie, you have to have this, like, real big chill moment. You have to have, you know, this big downside moment. You have to have this moment where all is lost. And it fits the category so perfectly, but yet is this roller coaster of a ride. And with Warrior, you have these two brothers. You have Joel Edgerton and you have Tom Hardy. And one of them is a, you know, a war veteran, and the other is this school teacher who used to box. And you have these two guys who, for different reasons, have to get in the ring and fight. And of course, you know, I hope you've seen it. If you haven't, of course, they end up fighting each other. But I will say, this is probably one of the best constructed sports movies of a very long time. Same director as the hockey movie Miracle, which I also love. And it is a, it is just a force of nature, this movie. And so I'm going to put Warrior with a working man's working class beer called Yingling.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you drank Yingling.
Always fresh.
You know, always fresh. Yingling, it's a, I believe it's a Pennsylvania beer, Yingling is.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm going to go with Yingling because it's like a good steel town, you know, good steel town beer.
Blue collar.
Yeah. And this is a movie that deserves a 12-pack of Yinglings while you watch it.
And also, like, frankly, if I was fighting, that sounds delicious afterwards.
Oh, yeah. You get in the ring, sweat
maybe
and bleed.
Shot of
with
rye
a,
and
sweat
then,
and bleed with a guy.
Fuck yeah.
Eat a Yingling.
Yingling.
This podcast brought to you by Yingling.
Hoorah.
Hoorah. So that's my number. That's
and
my,
the United States Marine Corps.
I mean, wow. Wow. I would like to know that, like, there's one person listening to this podcast going, what in the hell? I thought this was going to be about.
You didn't know what this was going to be about. Welcome to the ride.
We need to, every once in a while, we got to take a little bit of break from wine.
This is a nice, I mean, like, we found this really obscure way, like, let's pair wine and beverages with sports movies. Because, you know, at the end of the day, let's kick back, relax, and talk about the things that we love. We love wine. We love the beverage industry. And we love sports. And we love sports movies.
We love films.
So let's bridge those gaps, you know? Why the hell not? And yeah, there are going to be a lot of sports films that are left out of this. I mean, it's, we're just talking about the things that we love, and it's a weird time, and we all love wine, and we love the beverage industry, and, you know, we also love sports, and we love sports movies, and yeah, this is maybe a stretch, but we're having fun talking about it.
Look.
So who cares?
You know, if you're listening to a podcast hosted by a filmmaker who makes films about wine,
yeah,
they probably like films about everything else, too. And that's,
sports.
Yeah, sports are one of
and
the great genres.
And this is relaxed. We're not being, like, hardcore, like, sports in your face here, you know?
No. I'd love to do that, too. All right. What is your,
well,
now
you
we're
can
at
get
your
Will.
Number two?
I think about number three.
You're number two.
No.
Really?
No, because I just did, because I did Secretariat and Rudy.
And Southpaw.
And Southpaw.
So you're at number two.
I'm at number two already?
All right.
There's too many good sports movies. Shit. I didn't compile my list as thoroughly as you did.
I mean, thorough. I don't know.
Well, there's just too many, because honorable mention, A League
right.
of Their Own.
We'll get there. Hold
we'll
on.
Get
so
to
you're
those.
Gonna
okay,
go
cool,
A League
cool.
of Your Own right now? No,
no, no, no, no, no.
Number two.
We'll get to the honorable mentions later then, because I didn't compile this list like I should have. But
okay,
here we go.
Give me your number two.
Number two, I love Seabiscuit.
You have two horse movies.
Yes,
on
that's
your
why
five.
I'm saying now that I completely fucked up this list. So ignore horse. Secretariat.
Two horse movies.
I love riding horses. Damn you. Damn you. Seabiscuit is a fantastic fucking film all around. But no, Seabiscuit is just like a fantastic film. If you haven't watched it, watch it. It's got Tobey Maguire. Adorable.
I love the first thing you go for is Tobey Maguire, okay? So he's got Tobey Maguire.
It's
about a mare, right? Seabiscuit is a mare?
No, Seabiscuit is a stallion.
Oh, I thought, maybe
Seabiscuit is a stallion. So Seabiscuit, no. Actually, no. Neither of these are mares. Mares are rarely like the racing horses. They're usually stallions or geldings. They're usually male. Every now and then they're mares. But unfortunately, mares are just basically used for breeding. Preach.
Oh boy.
Let's not tap in the
box. Okay, so Seabiscuit. So
Seabiscuit. I love this story. So Seabiscuit, it's an underdog movie, once again, across the board. And this is fun too because it relates to me as far as wines go, because it's the California racers versus the East Coast racers. And it kind of makes me think of the Judgment of Paris, because you had these like very established French Bordeaux wines, and you had these very established East Coast racetracks with their pedigrees and their incredible thoroughbreds. And then you have these kind of upstart West Coast thoroughbreds racing and starting to come into the fray. And you have a gentleman who hasn't really owned racehorses before that's running the whole thing. You have a jockey that's way too big. Like, he's at least like 5 inches taller than the other jockeys, way too freaking big. And the horse Seabiscuit himself is descended from this prolific, very famous racehorse named Hartack. And he's supposed to be this foal is supposed to be born. He's supposed to be the next great racer. And he's born and he's incredibly small. And everybody writes this horse off. And he's sent to like these bottom line tracks and he's abused. He's not taken care of. And this horse is discovered and they find out that he has a lot of fucking heart. And that especially if he has another bigger horse next to him, that he's going to be like, fuck you. I'm winning this. Even though he's so much smaller.
That's a good impression of a horse right there.
That's what they say. So it's this incredible underdog story. And yeah, it makes me think of the Judgment of Paris a lot with these California wines versus these prolific Bordeaux wines. So when I think of Seabiscuit, I think of an old school Napa cab.
Okay, which one? You got to pick one.
I got to pick one? Well, I mean, the winner of the whole thing is Stag's Leap. So I would have to go with that.
Stag's Leap cab with some age on it kind of deal?
Well, of course.
Oh, well,
Well, maybe young, because Seabiscuit was like 3 years old when he won these races.
That's fair.
But I don't know if you'd want to drink that wine then. So that's why I think it was Seabiscuit.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. Great movie.
Seabiscuit is one of these movies that I need to rewatch. I haven't watched
Nobody
it since.
Nobody watches it. Everybody writes off horse
movies. I remember
movies.
In the theater when it came out.
Oh.
I loved it. It was great.
It's so inspiring. And you're just like.
It has Tobey Maguire, who's adorable.
Fuck off. It's got a lot of great actors in it. A lot of great actors. So yeah, it's just a really fun movie and you're rooting the whole time, which I love.
Oh, that's great.
It's a major underdog story.
So what's your number two? My number one, my number two, remember, was Rudy. So we've already
talked
about
that. That was your number
two? Yeah.
I'm terrible with this numbering shit.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to keep track of this, but this podcast wasn't contrived to stay on track.
There wasn't much structure.
No. All right, so I guess it's my number one then.
I think it's your number one.
All right, so my number one, as I've said on every podcast, I'm sure people are just over me saying it, I'm from Cleveland. Mm. My number one is a little masterpiece named Major League.
Oh, boy.
And Major League is the ultimate Cleveland fantasy of the Indians, which, probably won't be named the Cleveland Indians for too much longer.
Hopefully not.
Yeah, hopefully not. I'm actually, as a fan, I'm okay with that. Just don't take my team away. In fact, yeah. We're getting
off
topic.
Don't take the players away. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I would say this particular movie, Major League, I think it's a miracle. It really is. It's a film that has the humor and ridiculousness of Caddyshack and the seriousness occasionally of a cross between kind of like The Natural and how moved you are when things work. Mm-hmm. But then it's also very Bull Durham-ish, it's a lot of inside baseball, quote unquote, kind of thing where it's like you feel like you're part of it. Plus you really get these guys in their absolute beginning of their prime, Wesley Snipes and Charlie Sheen and Tom Berenger, and the cast is outrageous. Corbin Burnson. This is an incredible cast. So with all these actors that kind of all smash into each other, and there's a lot of great comedy and great heart. You got Rene Russo, who I'm, you know, she's great. I think this is Rene Russo's first movie.
Is it really?
I'm pretty sure. This is Rene Russo's first movie.
Oh, shit.
And, you know, if you're a Thomas Crown Affair film fan like I am, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, number of things mm-hmm. that she's been in.
That's cool.
I just love this film. And obviously, I am, yes, from Cleveland. And I, you know, full disclosure, the guy who wrote this film, David S. Ward, was, you know, a big inspiration to me, a mentor of mine at film school, a teacher of mine. But that's besides the point. I probably watched this film 100 times before I turned 21. And it's kind of like, you know, if you're from Cleveland, this is a movie that you go, you grow up, you know, every single line to. And it's an underdog story, you know. It's just the best. And baseball is a very close second for me of the best sport about, you know, that has movies. Mm. I mean, you have just such an incredible arsenal of great films. But I'm taking Major League, and I'm going to pair it with, I'm going to get real specific here.
Oh, boy.
Cleveland's a beer town. We drink beer.
She always.
I didn't have real wine until way late in my life.
What fake wine did you have?
Well, no, I mean, meaning like, you know, wine quality. Wine came in a box and it was called Franzia and it was around at like Easter.
We've all been there.
Apparently we drank a lot at Easter. I don't really don't know. But
Price is reason.
Yeah. I mean, most of it is, but it's a beer town. You know, it's a beer town. So I would say what you drink during Major League, we'll take a Cleveland beer. There's a brewery called Great Lakes Brewing Company.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually used to work there. Beer. It's great. Yep. They make a Dortmunder
Gold.
Oh,
worked there?
I worked there. One of my first bartending gigs was working at Great Lakes Brewery. You pour over and over and over again, tons and tons of beer.
So oh, that's so cool.
Nonstop and so fun. And everyone's going off to the Browns games or the Indians games or whatever.
Yeah.
And so you had crazy, crazy wild crowds. And anyways, so I would take a Dortmunder Gold and I would probably drop whiskey into it and make it a Boilermaker. You chug it.
It's a bomb.
And then you watch it.
Make it a Boilermaker.
And
I
then
love
you,
this
and then,
classy pairing.
And then you watch Major League. And anybody who listens to this podcast who wants to watch Major League with me and drink whiskey and Dortmunder Gold, I am in.
I mean, I'm down. I'm not going to say no to a good time.
That's my number one. Like you, I have a few alternates, unfortunately. But
yeah,
what's
we'll
your
get
number
there
one?
After so my number one.
This is your number one.
My number one, for me personally.
Are there any more horse movies?
No more horse. I don't think there are any more that are filmed, and I'm not going to talk about it anymore. My number one is Miracle.
Such a
about the 1980 USA Olympic hockey team in the Winter Olympics in Lake Placid, where they beat the Soviets.
Yeah, Soviet professional team.
The Soviet team, which had won
this movie
the
is
medals,
fantastic.
The gold medals for the past like four Olympics before that. They were unstoppable. So I love hockey. I just think in general, even if you're not like a huge hockey fan, the pace of this movie, the way it is shot, the heart of the movie, it's addictive. Yeah. I remember that when I went to go see it in theaters, the people in the theater that I was with, everybody was so ramped up that by the time that Mike Ruzioni, the captain of the 1980 Olympic hockey team, scored that game-winning goal, they were up in their seats. And a dude had come in there with a American flag, and he went running across the front of the screen holding this flag, and we were all cheering USA. Not in an obnoxious, like, MAGA way, you know? This was before all of that. This was just us watching this team and feeling like we were transported back in time and feeling like this is our Olympic hockey team. Like, it was a country we could be proud of. And watching the journey of these boys, basically, because I think the average age was, like, 21 on this team, was amazing to see where they came from. A lot of them were from Boston and Minnesota, and those were two universities that clashed. To see the journey that they go on, kind of fighting each other in the beginning and then becoming a cohesive unit, and Coach Herb Brooks really pushing them and creating this incredible once-in-a-lifetime team that inspired our entire country and brought everybody together. That's really inspiring. And for pairing it, I can't think of anything better than Finger Lakes Riesling. The Olympics took place in Lake Placid in New York State in 1980, and I think a really nice, crisp, dry, ice-cold Riesling would pair very nicely with this film.
That's a great... I mean, that's perfect. Both, not even on the nose, just the right... That's just it. I don't know what else I would do.
An ice vine?
An ice vine. I mean, you could do it. Yeah. It's always, you know, a lot of these sports movies, you could go beer, so... But I think Riesling, great call.
Yeah, makes sense.
That's a working man's Riesling right there.
For sure. So do you have like a three honorable mention?
Well, no, I just want to talk about Miracle for one second.
Oh, you do? Oh, I'm so sorry.
I think you could literally have we could do a whole podcast of wines to pair with Kurt Russell's hairstyles and films.
Oh.
And Kurt Russell's hair in this movie is so great.
It's so perfect.
It is
and
what
his
I
accent.
Want to be as a man.
His
I
Minnesota
his
accent
hair.
Is gorgeous. I went to school in Minneapolis.
It's perfect.
It's perfection.
I mean, this movie has the best
Patricia
Kurt
Clark
Russell
is his
hair.
Wife.
Outside, the only movie that has better Kurt Russell hair is Once Upon a Time, or is In Trouble in Little China. That
Ooh,
would be my,
I was
it's like
say
this
Escape
half mulletish kind of thing. But the
Escape from New York. No?
Well, I mean.
Hair, so fluffy.
Are you really, like, are you an Escape from New York fan?
Not particularly, but I'm talking about Kurt Russell's hair.
I just love John Carpenter so much. Okay, so the hair, his hair in that film and his accent. Does Kurt Russell, this is really the whole point of this podcast. Mm. Does Kurt Russell get enough credit as an actor? I'm going to say no. Survey says?
No.
No.
Kurt Russell, you're a gem. That's all this podcast is for.
That's
we
it.
Appreciate you. And we, Jake Gyllenhaal, if you're out there.
And Jake Gyllenhaal.
You
Claire
also
Kobe.
Have nice hair.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And
I think Miracle is... It has
it's
to
fantastic.
Be, because our list wasn't the best sports movies ever made, but it was our
For
favorite.
Ours. Yeah.
Our favorite slash our favorite to pair with some drinks.
Yeah.
Most of mine were like, you know, 151 rum. I love
Whatever.
Miracle enormously. It is a movie I can
it's
watch.
It's such a good movie.
You do not have to know anything about hockey.
No.
You can watch it from any perspective. It is just a great film. With
I think that's something they say, like one of the announcers said in, I can't remember his name, but in the actual Olympics, he said, you don't need to know the difference between a blue line and a closed line. All you need to know is that... Like that you should be enjoying this. Basically, I said that much less eloquently, but yeah, you don't need to know.
You don't need to know. It's a great.
It's a fantastic film.
It's a great film. Okay, I guess if people are still hanging with us, they'll go a couple alternates. I think.
Oh, I think there's been a lot of.
Yeah, everyone,
like how could you leave this out?
Yeah,
and I agree.
Well, of course, people are gonna poop on us for a lot of different pairings, and of course, we want to know. On Twitter and on Instagram, what wine and what sports wine
yeah,
pairings,
no,
sports
really,
drink
really
pairings, we want to know.
Yeah.
At Somm Films on both of those things, or at Somm TV, at Somm TV Streaming. Okay, I left off a boxing film, which is, I would say only by strict definition, a sports movie, if you really, really, really watch it and rewatch it and rewatch it, and that's Raging Bull. Which is this movie that is,
yeah.
It's a hard, tough rewatch.
It's,
I mean,
a hard watch.
It's got some very...
I hate him.
Hard stuff in it, you know, with...
The relationship. And,
yeah, he, you know, it's some hard beating stuff
I
in that movie.
I hate that motherfucker in them. But I think
yeah,
that's
Jake
the
LaMalle
point.
Yeah, Jake LaMalle is not
you know?
A good guy.
No.
But there is, you know, that aside, it is a beautiful film about terrible ugliness. And these moments in the ring where Scorsese does these incredible balletic things and he uses the Messini, which is just this incredible Italian, you know, classical music piece. And so I really think... that film I would have taken like a Mascarello Barolo. I would have taken a very, very high-level Barolo that smells like perfume,
mm-hmm.
and it's too young, so when you put it in your mouth, it just rips your tongue apart with tannins, but you can taste what it's going to be. And so this is a movie that I believe the wine should beat the shit out of you the same way, and that's kind of your southpaw analogy.
I was going to say,
And but I think it should be like this very perfumey smell, but really, you know, it clocks
he draws
in the
you
face
in, but
when,
yeah,
you,
he's
when you
dangerous.
Actually drink it. Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
I like that.
You know, Raging Bull, it's tough because you got to pick a boxing movie and I could spend an entire hour talking about boxing films.
They're fantastic. There's so many good ones because we didn't even talk about, Rocky or any of the Rocky sequels. And
no.
Those are iconic films to the sports genre.
I wanted to take an American Sake and put it with Karate Kid.
Which,
you know, I'm a big fan of Karate Kid. It's a ridiculous movie, but I love it.
No,
I grew up
it's
on
great.
It. Is I want to ask you a question really fast. Is Teen Wolf a sports movie?
I don't know what that is.
Holy
I mean, I
crap.
Know what it is, but like,
oh
I don't.
Oh my God, Claire, I'm so old. You don't know what Teen Wolf?
Teen Wolf, isn't that some like kid show? No?
Oh shit.
There
Michael
is
J.
like
Fox.
A Teen Wolf thing, right? Cut this out of the thing, please.
Hold on, no way. So Claire, your age is really showing here. My age is showing, maybe
31.
That's what it is. You're 31?
Yes.
Well, I'm not that, I mean, I'm only like 64 years older than you. I'm four. Oh, I don't want to say my age. A lady never tells.
Preach.
How does one describe the movie Teen Wolf to
well,
somebody
nah,
who's never?
Well, I feel ignorant.
Okay, here it is. The most original plot in movie history. You have a high school kid who plays basketball, who starts turning into a wolf.
Oh, Jesus.
And then finds out it's genetic, and his father also on full moons turns into a wolf.
And so the titles vary on the nose.
The sports scenes in this film, it's a basketball film. The sports scenes in this film are absolutely ridiculous. They're all fast break scenes where he just literally just runs down the court and like scores, and he becomes this great basketball player and gets the hottest girl, and there's another character named Boof. Sure. Holy smokes, how do you not know?
Oh, Boof? I've heard of that. Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm not shaming you. I'm shaming me. No, I'm ashamed. That I will add to my list. There's so many great ones. I mean, like,
League of Their Own. What would you pair with that?
We didn't get a League of Their Own.
Oh, wait, Teen Wolf. I got to pair Teen Wolf with...
Oh, I'm sorry.
What would you steal out of your parents' liquor cabinet when you were, like, 17?
Oh, Jesus. For me, probably my mother's, like, absolute vodka.
Oh, that's pretty good. I stole a bottle of blackberry brandy one time when I was young.
Why do they have
and
that?
And we took it. Why? Because somebody bought it, probably, and they never drank it.
Yeah, that's
so
fair.
I took this blackberry brandy. I've never gotten more sick in my life. Ever.
Yeah.
We, you know, when we were kids, and it tasted sweet. I was probably 17. So anyways, I'm pairing Teen Wolf with blackberry brandy, which if I smelled it right now, I would vomit. So anyways.
I mean, I feel like a lot of things we drank when we were younger would make us vomit now. Yeah, no, like A League of Their Own is another great film. It crosses some boundaries of like sexism, and I don't know what I would pair it with.
I've watched it recently. It holds up.
It's good.
And you know, Penny Marshall, who directed it, just passed away, so it's a...
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Well,
that's
not just, but you know, recently passed away.
I don't know what I would pair it with, though. What would I pair that... What would you pair that with?
I don't know. Tom Hanks is a pretty bad alcoholic in that film, so we have to be careful. I would probably pair that with a whiskey cut with white wine. Oh, boy.
Oh, we were being careful. That's right. Nadine just fed me a cue pairing. Producer. She said a dry Riesling because... When you see the Riesling, you think it's going to be sweet, but then in the end, it's not.
Oh, interesting.
And it's quite dry.
I don't know, man.
You think it's going to be heartwarming, but it teaches you a lesson.
When's the last time you watched the ending of A League of Their Own? It's pretty saccharine, in my opinion.
I don't know.
I'm a little bearish on that film.
I might Beaujolais it, because that could pair nicely with a good ballpark Frank.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. I think I have one complaint. I'm going to get a lot of shit for this probably. Uh-oh. My one complaint with A League of Their Own is the framing device at the beginning and end. I wish they lopped that off and it was just the movie.
Just the pure heart.
Because I can see that. There's a lot of makeup stuff that hasn't aged incredibly well. Like, you just look like a 30-year-old woman with a bunch of makeup on, you know, Gina.
Yeah, I hate that.
And so that's a complaint, but I would pair A League of Their Own with Ice T because I think that there's some alcoholism situations in that film that are kind of sad.
Oh, so you would just go full.
Yeah, I'm going dark right now. It's pretty unfortunate. So and then after the film, I would take a cortisone shot and then a bunch of 151 rum, and I would watch Any Given Sunday.
Fuck yeah, I love that.
This has been a fun. This has been a fun weird podcast.
This has been.
I hope you enjoyed it, Mom, because you're the only one listening still.
Ooh, can I also just say one more quick shout out? Remember the Titans.
Yeah, I remember Titans.
We didn't say that, and I just want to shut that out because I think it's important because it deals with race.
Yeah,
and it tackles it head on. I'm sorry to like cut your ending off, but like I think that's a huge film.
Well, I love that film. First of all, Denzel Washington's a monster, and that movie is amazing.
Yes,
it's just like Denzel Washington.
An important film.
Denzel Washington could just walk into a movie and just own it.
Yeah.
With minimal effort. That particular movie is great. I've watched it so many times. Fantastic.
And I think it.
All right, fine. So what do you pair with Remember the Titans?
Fuck, I don't know. Something that brings people together.
Well, I mean, that's what wine is.
All wine.
Yeah.
Any alcohol.
So you pair it with... You pair that with
whatever the fuck you want.
I like that. Claire, this has been fun.
This has been great. What a hoot sitting with you and talking about wine and
a lot of fun.
Sports.
It's nice to see you in person. I miss humans.
At a distance, may we say.
We're at 5'11" apart.
Ever so close to 6 feet. But we're making it work.
Ever so close. All right, I should plug. I should plug some other podcasts on the Sound TV Podcast Network.
Please
Shakira
do.
Jones's podcast, A Glass for Every Palate, is about to launch, and she is just an incredible force of nature.
She's awesome.
It's great. In her first episode, spoiler alert, she's going to interview Jancis Robinson.
Oh,
that comes
my God.
September 17th. That is there. The promo is up, so please make sure you subscribe to that podcast. Jill Zamorski's Reading and Drinking, where she reviews wine books, is up, and that is available anywhere you get your podcasts.
There are
three episodes so far and more coming. We also have The History of Wine with Matt Kaner that you can subscribe to.
Mm-hmm.
And Claire, you're going to have your own podcast coming up here soon.
I will.
Yeah, this is this is a lot of fun doing this.
This is exciting, and I appreciate getting to work with so many different voices and so many wonderful people in this wine world.
Well, I hope we can use our power to get Jake Gyllenhaal to give you a call.
You and me both, man.
All right. It's been fun. All right. Bye, Claire.
Cheers.